the section of scripture is from chapter 19, verse 16, to chapter 20, verse 24, which is entitled The King's Demand. Last week, we studied or began our study of the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him a question. Matthew 19, verse number 16. He says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Two things that I didn't mention last week but are important. The parallel between this young man and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, both of these men were prominent men, and both came to Jesus asking him a question. Nicodemus came, the Bible says, by night, and he came humbly. But this young man came to Jesus without the humility. And remember, in the early part of Matthew chapter 18, I believe, it's been chapter 19, and verse 13 says, the little children were brought to him, that he might put hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked him. And verse 14 says, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So when we look at the attitude or nature of a child, innocent and without an agenda, but this rich young ruler was not, he came arrogantly. He came telling Jesus all the good things he had done. And so Jesus said to him, answered the question, verse 17, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that he is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I kept for my youth. What do I still lack? What do I need to do? Eternal life. He asked Jesus a spiritual question. And so, we say it in verse number 20. He asked, what do I lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so the question, the question he asks is, what lack I yet? And so nowhere in the Bible is it said that a sinner that is saved by selling his goods and giving the money away. So you cannot buy your way into heaven. In other words, Jesus never told Nicodemus to do this in John chapter 3. Or any other sinner whose story is recorded in the Gospels, by asking him to sell his goods, Jesus was forcing him to examine his own heart and determine his priority. With all his commendable qualities, the young man still did not truly love God with all his heart. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? What does that mean? First place. What is that mean? Giving the first place. Making
the law.
Yeah. Yeah. A priority. So if you're like me, I write down a lot of stuff, make lists all the time. I'm making a list. But where does Jesus fit on your list of priorities? And so this young man, someone once said, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Every once in a while, each and every one of us should do what we call a heart check. You've seen that song, is thy heart right with God, washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, is thy heart right with God. But the scripture says, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures here. But what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? we do. Where more and rust is short. Everything you buy will lose its value. Yeah, you buy a car, the minute you drive off the lot, it loses value. It depreciates. Yeah? The clothes that you wear, this jacket here, my boat, it didn't have this hood in it. That's life. But what do? We spend our time accumulating things. Isn't that right? Remember last week I said, when you die, somebody's going to have to get rid of all your good junk. All your good junk. You move house, you take all that junk out of that house and junk out the next house that you move into. You know what's interesting? You pack it all up because you say, I'm going to use this one day. Remember what we say? Yeah. I'm talking to somebody. They got stuff somewhere. I'm going to use this one day. Mama's old, China, grandma's old, whatever. Stuff we just accumulate. He said, we're neither rust destroying, we're neither thieves breaking and steal. But he says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? And we're gonna do a little problem solving in this verse here. Lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. But we're neither more nor rust destroying. And where thieves do not break it, you don't have to worry about putting a alarm system in heaven. There are no alarm companies in heaven. Did you know that? No alarm companies, no security in heaven. He says, and then verse 21 says what? For where your heart is, where your treasure is. I'm misquoting the scripture, you're not correct me. For where your treasure is, what happens? There your heart will be also. You remember earlier this year in Hawaii, Maui? All those people's houses burnt down. You remember that? That fire, that specter in Hawaii. Pulled down everything down to the foundation. And folks were crying. Yeah, you can cry, but you can't take that stuff with you. For where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart will be also. And so why did this young man go away sorrowful? Why did he go away sorrowful? The Bible says what? For he had many what? Possessions. Not treasures. It doesn't say treasures. It says possessions. That's what my translation says. Yeah. Verse number, great possessions. Yeah. Verse 22. And so possessions were his God, small g. He was willing to obey, he was unwilling to obey God's, Jesus' command to go and sell, and then do what? Come and follow. He went away grieved, but he could have gone away with great joy and great peace. Because you know what the Bible says? We cannot love God. And we can't serve two masters. What does the Bible say? For you will either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. Remember? You can't serve God and money. You cannot burn the candle at both ends. So we can be sure that apart from Christ, even the material possessions of life give no lasting joy or pleasure. Just think of your favorite food. What's your favorite food? Is it just picturing your mouth? Say, man, a perfect meal. A steak, potatoes, gravy, some vegetables, and a nice dessert. Now you sit down and eat that, but guess what? It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. The taste is not going to last forever. The memory, maybe. And so, it is good to have things money can buy, or provided we do not lose the things that money cannot buy. What can money buy? What cannot money buy? Can bring Your soul, what else? Cambridge. Campbell. I said, well, I can go to Vegas. Huh? I can go to Dubai. I can go to what? What can my boy? Family. I can walk a family. I can go on wish.com or whatever and get myself, I can order a family. Can't money buy a piece? No? Can't go to one? Did you know? Say for example, you're struggling, you've got trouble. Got family trauma, whatever. You say, you know what, I'm going to go on a plane and fly all the way to Tahiti. Don't you know that before you get to Tahiti, there's troubles that could still going to meet you there? Because you see, but your heart's not right. Isn't that right? People live in, you look drive by all these mansions. Man, I would love to live over there. But you don't know what those folk in there, what their lives are like. Huh? That's why I try not to envy people. Because we can put on a facade like everything is okay. Huh? So this young man ran away sorrowful. And so this young man wants to know how to be perfect. Yeah? And Jesus was answering the question from this young man concerning what he had to do to find the eternal life. The answer essentially was to come by faith and follow Jesus. To come by faith and follow Jesus. Yeah? But since the wealth was going to be the hindrance, he needed to sell it all and give it to the poor. And by selling off his wealth and giving it to the poor, the young man would not only be removing a competitive or competing element for his devotion to God, but also show he was being obedient to the law. For loving the neighbor, as the law said, would require him to do something for those in need. And unfortunately, he had a divided heart. What does the Bible say a double-minded man is? How does the Bible describe a double-minded man? He's unstable in all his ways. Huh? You say that, should I or should not? You ever have a decision to make? You can't make up your mind? Ever have a hard time making decisions? That's being double-minded. You got to make a decision, because guess what? No decision is a decision. Did you know that? No decision. When you say, I'm not going to make a decision, you made a decision. You're either going to follow the Lord or you're going to follow Satan. So, well, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, you made a decision. Because if you're not following Jesus, guess who you're following automatically? Thank you, Brother Joseph. Somebody you're afraid to see. Yes. And so he was double-minded. His heart was not completely set on following Jesus. He asked a question, but he really didn't know the answer. And what we asked, how many of us asked a question, but the answer is in the question that we're asking? Huh? Lord, can I do something? Mom, can I go to the party? And then you say, because everybody's going, what are you asking, Mom? Give me permission to go to the party. You're not asking for permission. You want to go. Yes. And even if she says no, guess what you're going to do? Sneak up. Huh? Am I the only one in here? Sneak up. Double-minded. Wow. I know that. You know, Mom and Dad don't agree with this. And so if they don't know, and if they don't tell me, I'm still going to go. Huh? But you already made a decision. You know? And so, unfortunately, this young man had a divided heart. He could keep the external commandments, but he didn't want to surrender his life to the Lord and radically change his priorities and his practices. In order to follow Jesus, guess what you're going to have to do? In order to follow Jesus, what you got to do? You got to have to give up something.
Deny yourself.
Deny yourself.
take up the cross.
What do I lack? Are we fully committed to, are you and I fully committed to Jesus? You answer that question honestly. Are you fully committed? And so unless this ritual eventually turns to Christ, he died without salvation. The scripture doesn't say whether or not he came back. No way. Doesn't say whether or not he came back. Doesn't say whether or not he obeyed. Doesn't say whether or not he still obeyed him. He died without salvation, only the richest man there in the cemetery. A lot of rich folk down in the cemetery, did you know that? But guess what? Guess what? They can't, they didn't take their riches with them. Isn't that right? When they put you in that coffin, what's in that coffin? You in a suit or you in a dress. They put a ring on your finger. But you don't see any of this, of their possessions going in that grave with them. Or leaving that behind. So the question was asked in verse 23 to 26, and Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, yes.
After what Christ is emphasized to this young man is about trusting in God.
Yes.
Putting his bounty to God.
Yes.
I kind of, he has said the word that how do you love God when you love someone else that can feed your heart? So, basically, I'm not saying that the material things we have is our mind through the material things we have. In my own understanding and what the scripture says, what the Lord has given to you, your mind, is not just for you, though. It's for the benefit of those that are around you. In the realm of the Lord, we have those that are rich, those that are poor. Christ said, they shall come to be like that. But you must only have poor in your midst. And when you have been blessed, your blessing is not just alone, it's for the usage of God for those around you. And if possible, we can also extend that fellowship to those outside there. So, my own thing is that our understanding or our own resolution to what we have, moving to our TV at home can be our gods. If you put all our trust, all our mind towards that particular thing. So, I think that what the guy was emphasizing on it, not that it's condemning the material things or the riches you have on the surface of the earth. There are those that don't have no riches at all. But they claim that they are the richest of the world and they don't trust anything. So, what Christ is saying is, it's just telling us we that Christians that are following him, do we really trust God? Same thing done to Abraham. King your son, the son who has the heritage, is the wealth. And I don't tell you, our children, our parents, whatever, our world, that is because we have our heads. Those that are saying we should not feel that way and go the way. But when the blessing of God has blessed Abraham at that time, he said, take your son, Isaac, and sacrifice. Because Abraham trusted in God that God is going to provide this son for me. He is giving him to be a for God. It's the same God that he provides for me. So we have the same one said that I think we can have a good smooth environment to live with love.
Thank you, John. Well, that brings us to the next point. So you're absolutely right. So God, Jesus is not condemning riches. Yes, because Solomon was rich, Abraham was rich. There are many rich people in the Bible, so God is not condemning riches. But we'll get to that point, Brother Lucky, yes, but good points. Because unless and until we understand the place for those riches and those possessions, we can lose our eternal salvation. Yes? When Jesus made that statement in verse 23 of our text in chapter 19, Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with this So with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Yeah? So the question is, who then can be saved? So that if this man, this young man holds these riches, if he can't be saved, what chance do we hold for him? You see? So the Jewish people of that day believed that riches were evidence of God's blessings. And they based this on the promises that God gave to the Jewish nation at the beginning of their history. And I suggest that even today in the church, we have this same mindset that if I have more, God is blessing me more. And perhaps that's an indication of God's favor for me. Now, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that. Because as Brother Lucky said, the Bible says the poor we will have with us always. The always going to be fulfilled in the world today. And so it is true that God did promise material blessings if they obeyed, and material laws if they disobeyed. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 26 through 28, the blessings and the curses said, if you do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do this, you'll be cursed. Yeah, and this is when God had drawn a circle around his people, the Jews or Israel, and said, I want your obedience. I want your obedience, yes? And so, but in the infancy of that of the race, the only way God could teach them was through rewards and punishment. We teach young children in the same manner. Here's what parents do today. Your young child said, if you are nice, what do you say? If you're a good girl or a good boy, mommy will what? I'll buy you this toy. Or I'll take you to McDonald's. Or if you get good grades. Isn't that right? But you know God don't like that. So you're going to have to be on punishment. No? That's how God had to treat this book. And so, however, the highest kind of obedience is not based on the desire for reward or fear of punishment. It is motivated by what? If you and I only do good because we're afraid of God punishing us, that's not living. God is not standing around the corner waiting to catch you in sin. That's not what God, that's not love. So we ought to do good because it's the right thing to do. Because of our love for God. Yes? Remember when, who was it? Was it Joseph and Potiphar's wife? And what did Potiphar's wife want? She wanted Joseph to lie with her. And what was Joseph's reply? How can I do this against? He didn't say, well, because I'm afraid of Potiphar, or because of my conscience. He says, because I will violate God's law. And so, instead of us asking our parents, young people, for permission, say, you know what, God, I'm going to search your word and find out what is your will. Yeah? God's will is greater than man's will. Everything we do should be motivated by love. Yeah? Why? Because that's how God treats us, John 3:16, for God to love. When did God start loving us? When did God start loving us? Before we even loved him. That's Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were what?
Yes.
But you know what we do? We think, if I'm more obedient, God's going to bless me more. Isn't that what we think? That's not it. Stuck by the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son. The son that saved him. What was his attitude? Well, I never disobeyed you. I kept all the commandments. I'm a good boy. But why are you throwing a party for him and you? You didn't throw a party for me. But son, it's not about doing anything. It's about love. It's about relationship. You don't have to do something. You just have to be something. To be rich young ruler, what shall I do? But it's not about doing anything, rich young ruler, it's about being. That makes sense? And so that takes all the pressure off, because breathing, you know, on the job, when our performance is better, guess what? We make more money. You know what we think? Well, that's not how God works. You cannot work your way into heaven. Amen. You can't spend your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You just have to be obedient. Motivated by love. By love. That makes sense? And so God sees the heart. God sees man's heart. And God wants to do what? He wants to build character. What is character? What is character? What is character? Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Hmm? See, you can, when the boss is around, man, you know, she's doing it. But when the boss is not around, what you do? Are you as committed when the boss is not watching as when he is watching? God in heaven, you can't see him. He sees you. Are you as committed? So we ask the question, how committed are you to God? I'm all in the Lord. You see that snow that fell last night? That was a test of your character. When you looked up this morning, the flesh said what? Stay home. Stay home. Huh? On Sunday, but you risk your life on Monday to go to work. Huh? What is it? It's character. It's character now. I'm trying to go somewhere here. See, salvation is the gift of God in response to man's faith. Huh? For by grace you have been saved. What does the scripture say? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is that Ephesians 3? I love that. Ephesians 2. Yes. You see that? And so material riches are not a guarantee that God is pleased with man. Material riches are not a guarantee that God is pleased with man. When we get up here and say, Lord, Luke 6:38 says what? Heal, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, run together, and run over. It says what should be measured to you, both for the same what? It will be measured unto you. But folks, if I give more, God's going to bless you, that's going to mean there. Because if I give love, I get love. But you know what we say? Those people like my job, they don't like me. Are you friendly? Are you friendly? If you're not going to get friendly, you're not going to get friendly. If you're not going to give love, you're not going to get love. If you're not peaceful, you're not going to have peace. Now what? See, we put that on the money side, but it's character. It's character. Because, see, the context of that, Luke 6:38, when you, they didn't have scales and measures like how we have today. So when you went down to the market, brother, love, you would take your apron, and you say, get me a bushel of apples. Huh? And the man would put that bushel of apples into your apron, and just in case, even shortchanging for a little extra, good measure, and what? Run it over. Because I don't want to cheat you. But he's got to be honest. See, we don't probably be honest with us, but we're not honest with everybody else, are we? We're going to be friendly with us. What are you giving to get it back? Huh? See, in God's economy, God can, the Bible says he will give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But what are we giving God? We want, when we pray, if we say out of 100%, when we pray to God, how much of a percentage do we want God to give to us? We want 100%. how much are we giving though? We give about 10%, for example, 12%, and we 100%. I want to invest like that. You put in 10% and get out 100. Huh? But we want 100, but we're giving about 2%.
I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about effort,
commitment, love, devotion.
Huh?
So material riches. Do you know that even if you don't have anything, earn anything to your name, that you're still blessed? A house is not a material blessing. Wealth is not a material blessing. Anybody? What's a material blessing? Anybody know what's a material blessing? Prayer. The Bible says he sends the rain on who? The just and the unjust. Rain is not a spiritual blessing, because God doesn't just send rain on the Christian houses or the Christian's grass. That's not a spiritual blessing. So man, God is good. God is good. Huh? You know I'm doing this. Can Satan bless you? Can Satan bless you?
Yeah.
When you're praying, you just listen. The devil's listening to you. So that's why we say in Jesus' name, if the Lord's will. So when you're praying, Lord, I want a job. The devil says she wants a job. She wants a job. What a job for? What a good job for? Right? So you come down to church on Sunday, you stand up and praise church, praise God, and what a job. Church is saying, amen. Well, I can't come on Sunday. Huh? Who blessed you with that job? Huh? God's going to bless you or keep you far from you. That doesn't make no sense. See, I'm doing good things for the Lord. Huh? So, material riches. Let me cook. The disciples, being good Jews, were amazed at the Lord's statement about riches. Their question reflected their theology. If a rich man can't be saved, what hope is there for the rest of us? And what we think? So, of course, Jesus did not say that the possession of wealth kept a man from the kingdom, brother Lucky. Abraham was a very wealthy man, yet he was a man of great faith. How do we know that Abraham was a man of great faith? How do we know that? He did, what did Abraham do? He left his country, not knowing where he was going. And what else did Abraham do? He was willing to sacrifice that boy. I want you to take that boy, take him up on the mountain, take some sticks, put him up on that altar, and draw that my feet. What do you think? Oh, Lord, I'm tired. You know, this arthritis, you know, it's got my back out. Lord, can I go on Tuesday? You know, when it's a little warm. He was willing to do the deed. And the Lord stayed his hand. You just don't know how. What did Abraham tell his wife? He said, the Lord of God will come back and worship. And when Abraham looked, what did he see? He saw a rain on the water. God will provide what he had to test his faith. How much was Abraham willing to give? How much did Jesus ask the rich man to give? That was a test of his heart. How much am I willing to give up for Jesus? Huh? I'm going to read this to you. Jesus says, it is easier. Let's see what the scripture says. I'm trying to remember. It is hard for
a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, in the days of Jesus, the people had come to accept the teaching that the rich will automatically be in the kingdom, primarily because of their richness was seen as a clear evidence of God's blessing on their life, and poverty was seen as a punishment for sin. The poor in scriptures were called sinners. But Jesus had made it clear that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Why is it hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? Oh, I can't give up this stuff. There is a movement now where many wealthy people have made a pledge to give away the majority of their wealth. The majority of their wealth to charities. Men like Warren Buffett, these men donate millions of dollars every year to charities before they die. Yeah? But Jesus said in verse 26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The response of Jesus makes it clear that salvation by grace is by the grace of God. With man this salvation for everyone is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, God is a God who specializes in the impossible. He specializes in the impossible, and salvation by man's account is impossible apart from the work of God. You cannot be saved without God. Your money is not a guarantee. Wealth is not a guarantee. Even rich folks stuff. If salvation is possible with God, then people, rich or poor, must seek it from God. And that requires a complete self-surrender by faith to His will and His plan. Yeah? I was looking for this scripture. I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yes, you want to read that verse 17 through 19, please.
From our close to our nation, this present age, not the culture, to trust in a certain riches, but the living God, who gives foolishly all things to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. Ready to give me to share. Study all for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may live good on eternal life.
Thank you. What did the rich young ruler ask Jesus? What was his question? His question in verse number 19, 16 of chapter 19. Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus answers that question, or Paul answers that question here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 19. And so, Peter, in our text, back in our text, in verse 27, says, and Peter answered, said to him, see, we have left all and followed you, therefore, what shall we have? Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And what? And the last will be first. So we must obey him unreservedly. Peter was quick to see the contrast between the wealthy ruler and the poor disciples. He says, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? Therefore Jesus gave them a marvelous promise of rewards in this life and the next. He said, they would even share thrones when he had established his kingdom. Whatever good things they, as well as all believers, had forsaken for his sake, would
would be returned to them a hundredfold, as I should say, far, far surpassing any sacrifices they made here. The disciples had left everything and followed Jesus. So did it seem impossible for the 12? Who were the 12 apostles or disciples? Here he was referring to the cost of discipleship. Some people had to abandon family relationships when they chose to follow Christ, and for them, there will be a full and abundant compensation in the kingdom. This kind of sacrifice is often hard for Westerners to understand, especially in a country where people generally don't care about what others believe. We live in a nation, this side of the world, where you know we have freedom of choice, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. But in the days of Jesus, when people left traditions of the family and the teachings of the Pharisees and followed Jesus alone, it often meant a radical break with families, and it still does in families that are rigidly Jewish, even today, and also Islamic. You know, you need that religion, and people will cut you off. And Jesus is not saying that people should abandon their little children and not fulfill their family responsibilities. However, Jesus was declaring that to be his disciple meant a radical change in the priorities of life. And if by following Jesus someone has sacrificed a relationship with a family or family member, that person will find the Messianic community a far greater family that truly cares for all things spiritual and practical, and that person will have found eternal life. I can tell you personally that becoming a Christian for me has meant that I had to cut off some people. Why? Because I understand that to maintain a relationship with certain family members or friends would mean that I would be falling back into ill behavior and habits. And so God specializes, listen, whatever you lack materially, whatever you lack in a family way, the Lord will replace in the church. But it requires a commitment. They said, we had left it all for you. Remember when Jesus called the disciples who were fishermen? He said, come, follow me. The Bible says they left their nets and their father and they came in immediately. But you know what our problem is today? What's our problem today? We have a hard time letting go of things and people. We have a hard time. Yes. And here's a true saying that I've had to learn myself. Family will be your toughest challenge. Your family will be your toughest challenge. How do I know that? Because even Jesus had to do that. What did Jesus do? Jesus left his family. And he was there in their synagogue and said, your mother made it outside looking for you, remember that? And what did Jesus say? Who is my father? Who is my brother? But those who do the will of the Father. Yes. How much are you and I willing to give up to have eternal life? That's your question. May God bless you richly as you consider that, and may God bless you in the reading of His word. Let's pray. Father, we thank